Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. He is the lead guitarist and musical director for the popular metal band Trans-Siberian Orchestra. You can see them at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena on December 11th. Tickets on sale now. Welcome back, Al Petrelli. Al, how are you?
Hey, Chase. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you again. I guess, is that a sign now that Christmas time is coming? That not like when we de-ice Mariah Carey for when she sings her song, but I get to talk with Al Petrelli to promote Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Does that mean Christmas time's finally here?
Yes, sir, it is. And listen, the years go by fast, you know, but here we are, you and I chatting. And listen, I hope the family's well and everything on your side's real good.
Our family's doing well. Hopefully everyone on your end is doing great as well. You guys are doing 106 shows on this tour. Now,
yeah.
I love performing, but does all this traveling and performing, does it get exhausting after a while?
Never. Never. I live for this, dude. I feel every time I put that Les Paul around my neck, I feel like a teenager all over again, dreaming about doing what I'm doing, you know? And to be doing it for so long at a fairly high level, you know, people just love TSO and they love the stories and they love the songs and they love coming out and they love bringing their kids or their grandkids. You know, no, I love every second of it. You know, I get bummed when it's over.
Now, you've been doing this for so long. Do you still get jitters at all, like in anticipation, or after a while that just tends to go away?
No, I don't get jitters as far as nerves. The only time I was ever nervous is when I thought, okay, I didn't practice enough or I didn't do enough homework, you know. But no, I don't get jitters. I get excited. You know, I just can't wait to watch everybody in the audience expressions change. You know, the immediacy, that energy that happens between the stage and the audience, you know, I try to dispel that line in the sand between the two. And I just look forward to celebrating these songs because, you know, I helped Paul O'Neill record all these, you know, and I wrote up some of the music and I helped arrange a lot of the music and witnessed the birth of this baby, if you will, you know, 30 years ago. And the fact that people come out and they're excited to be there and they love the story and we're all celebrating together. Nah, man, give me two shows a day, every day. You know, I'll love it until the day I can't do it anymore. And then I'll still love it after that.
I don't know if you're going to be able to do this, but if you can you describe what that feeling is like to be on the stage with your band around you, the pyrotechnics, the lighting, and then the crowd just cheering for you all? What does that feeling like? Like, what does that feel like?
Well, there's two things. The first is that it's a dream come true ever since I was a kid. You know, when I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan in 64, you know, I was 2 years old at the time, but I remember just like I was transfixed to, you know, the old black and white TV with the rabbit ear antennas, you know, and just going, oh my God, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And then going through, you know, the public school system and the music department and being in large ensembles playing for, you know, the parents in the audience, you know, that was fun. And, you know, your first cover band, the junior high doing Skinner and Allman Brothers and, you know, Leslie West and Johnny Winter cover tunes and, you know, young ladies reacting in a positive manner. I was like, I'm onto something. Then just, you know, playing live and enjoying it and playing in clubs, and then the venues got bigger. And then to play in arenas that are sold out, it's fantastic. But the better or the more important part is that I look out and I go that people are enjoying something that I help create. And that to me is the equivalent of watching my children go out to the world and having people fall in love and admire them and them exceeding all my expectations. And that's really what hits with me. I mean, here's something that I did 30 years ago that's still important and people love it. I'm really proud.
Everyone that I've talked to that has seen Trans-Siberian just absolutely loves it. And what's even crazier is that it's not only just like the rock and metal fans that like it, but it's even people who don't like metal or rock or like anything heavy just absolutely love it. How does it feel to receive praise from not only just the rock and metal fans, but those who don't even like the genre?
Well, it's flattering. I'm honored. But the thing about this is, as you know, it's not really a rock or metal show. It's not really a classical a recital. It's not really a Broadway show or a theatrical presentation. It's all these things rolled into one. So there is something for everybody out there. And the folks that come back year after year that I refer to, and you know this as my repeat offenders, they get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's the first time that you think that I'm going to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra and this is going to be like a Rachmaninoff show. And I'm like, ruh-roh, not quite, you know. Mm-hmm. Or people who go and watch the videos and say, oh man, this is like a full-blown like rock show with, you know, lasers and pyro. It's like, yeah, that's part of it, you know. but there's something for everybody. And I think it's presented in such a classy manner that, you know, when we do the heavier, more aggressive songs, it's done very, very well. And when we present the great composers' works, you know, even the most sticklers of the classical community, the aficionados, go, you know, that was really well done. When you're playing a Beethoven symphony or a Chopin piece and we do it really well, you know. So I think by keeping it elegant and classy and very accessible to the audience, not too confusing, not over the top, but certainly not ordinary, everybody enjoys it because it is really done in a very tasteful, classy manner. And we work really, really hard at our craft to present it as flawlessly as we can.
In our last interview, we learned that you watched the beloved Christmas classic, The Godfather, on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I thought that
was
a New Yorker.
Sure.
I thought that was a New Yorker thing, so I asked my wife about it because she's from Long Island. It's apparently not a New Yorker thing, but because she's from Long Island, we still leave milk and cookies under the piano for Billy Joel. I want to know, what was Christmas like for you growing up?
Magical for the most part. You know, the excitement of what we thought Christmas was, you know, Santa Claus and trees. And then, you know, as I got older, I played guitar in the folk group at the Midnight Mass, and that was fun, and getting together with family members. And then, you know, there was a 10 or 12 year dark period in my life where it wasn't that, you know, I lost my dad, you know, at a very young age. And, you know, when I met Paul O'Neill in 95, and we recorded this song, Christmas Eve, Sarajevo, 1224. I looked at him and was like, dude, what's with the Christmas song? And he laughed and he goes, well, it's not really a Christmas song. It's a song depicting events that took place on Christmas Eve during the war in Sarajevo. And it kind of clicked with me. It's like, what am I complaining about? You know? And he kind of just shed a light on the fact that, listen, you know, maybe you have some, not the greatest memories, but what about the good ones? Because think about what some people had to endure, you know, on Christmas Eve, like something like that. And then getting involved with this and turning pain into art and helping bring his characters to life in the stories and watching people gravitate towards that. I noticed that, well, a lot of other people went through maybe some dark times, and it all seems to be magnified around the holidays. You know, everybody misses somebody, dude. You know, and I say on occasion, there's always an empty chair at the dining room table that's really obvious, especially around Thanksgiving or Christmas. But, you know, I'd rather miss somebody at this point in my life than to have never had them in my life, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so that song essentially kind of got you out of that little, like, dark Christmas period and got kind of brought back the Christmas cheer for you in a way?
It did, because it dispelled the fact that I'm alone in my feelings, you know? Like, when you think that you're all alone feeling something, it's very isolating, you know, and you withdraw, you know? And then when I realized, well, Paul went through a similar situation, and then, you know, as people would come in and, like, the singers would sing the songs, you know, you got to be very vulnerable and very okay with letting your guard down to do something as honest as what the TSO work is. And I realized, you know, I'm not alone in this, man. Everybody's going through it. So it's okay to feel bad or feel upset or that sense of missing somebody, you know. And I've come to terms with it years ago. And now I just enjoy going out and celebrating, because now I look at the holidays through my children's eyes and then my grandchildren's eyes, you know. And that's important, you know, and that's paramount to me. So, and through the people in the audience's eyes, they just love this thing as much as I do. And it taught me a really valuable lesson.
Speaking of Christmas, obviously you've had tons of Christmases. What was the best present you have ever received for Christmas?
The news that my wife's giving birth to my daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
She was born on Christmas?
No, but I found out the week before Christmas that it's a girl.
Oh.
From the sonogram, you know. And then, you know, my grandson, who was born like 5 days before Christmas last year, it's just like, you know what? This is getting really good.
Yeah, you can't beat that. By the way, I think speaking of your daughter, which I could be mistaken on this. In our last interview during my 10 questions, you mentioned the song Layla by Eric Clapton. It was one of your absolute favorite songs, best song you ever heard live. I believe you named your daughter Layla, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah, because of that song. Absolutely. Listen, there's pieces of music during the course of my life that just kind of grabbed hold of my soul and never let go. And I remember I was a huge, huge Allman Brothers fan. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing Layla on the radio for the first time, must have been 71. And, you know, Dwayne's opening riff and his slide work on that, the story behind the lyric with Patty Boyd, And then that edit into that magnificent piano piece at the end of it. I just like that song was everything to me. And again, going back to that Christmas, you know, 9.5 years ago now, when my wife told me, you know, and I said, well, you know, she goes, what do you want to call her? I'm like, listen, if you're okay with it, Layla is like the most important, you know, most important song in my life. And I would love to look at her every day and call her that.
That's crazy. I love that story, especially when like one of the things I wish we had time before the previous one was just the fact that like you mentioned, it's like, what is it about this? And now I just, when you hear a song like that, it just grips you and it just never lets go. And it's crazy.
It is. And even if you think back to 90, you know, Martin Scorsese in a very important part of the movie Goodfellas, like when they open the trunk, you know, that downbeat of that piano piece from Layla is what kind of underscored that whole scene. And, you know, it just, there's something about it that I go, it's fascinating. And listen, I'm a music nerd and I can go back and tell you that, you know, if you trace the harmony in that song, you can go back to, you know, Vince Guaraldi's very melancholy theme from Christmas Time Is Here from the Charlie Brown thing. Same chords. You know, Now whether that was done intentionally or not, I don't know, but there's something about that harmonic. I know I sound like a nerd, sorry, but there's something about that harmonic relationship with the melody that just like grabbed me and I'll never let go of it. And, you know, now that song comes on the radio, my daughter just kind of perks up and we sing along and, you know, that's her song. And I got to tell Greg Allman that when I saw him just before my wife gave birth in April of 2016. And just, you know, a couple months before Greg passed, I told him that, you know, we're going to call her Layla in honor of her brother. And he was just grateful and, you know, very lovely in receiving that information.
That's awesome. Yeah, I did not realize all of that. That's cool. One last thing before we let you go, because I know you got to get out of here. We lost metal icon Ozzy Osbourne this year. We've seen tributes pour in. Do you happen to have a good Ozzy Osbourne story?
Well, I have a very, very personal one. I'm going to say when Jake left the band, and it was 86, 87, something like that, Ozzy's producer at the time, a guy named Max Norman, was kind enough to call me up and say, hey, I'm recommending you as a name on the list for Ozzy and Sharon to look at for replacement guitar players. And I was really just like put on my heels. I was like, oh my God, Max, thank you so much. And I got to meet Ozzy and Sharon briefly one night. And I just kind of introduced myself and said, hey, you know, Max Norman said he recommended me to you guys. And I'd love to get involved. But whatever you decide, I wish you all the best. Obviously a huge fan of the Sabbath catalog, but, you know, especially the solo Ozzy stuff with Randy Rhoads and with Jake. And unfortunately for me, it didn't work out because a very famous photographer at the time recommended Zach Wilde. And like Zach was the perfect guitar player for Ozzy at that time, much more than I could have fit in. But I was very grateful at the time. And both Sharon and Ozzy were just sweethearts. Like, you know, they were just so kind. And they went on to be the perfect pairing with Zach and Ozzy. And Zach and I have remained friends for decades now. And, I'm very grateful for the body material he left us in the legacy and love and prayers to his family always.
So technically, in a way, you are responsible for uniting Zach and Ozzy together, in a way.
No, not really. But, you know, mutual friends. I mean, Zach was playing guitar in cover bands in New Jersey. I was playing cover bands on Long Island. We all kind of knew each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when Mark Weiss recommended Zach and Sharon and Ozzy put ears and eyes on what Zach was doing at the time, I was like, man, that's a perfect fit, dude. Go yeah. Have fun. Yeah. And I ran into them, I think, at Wembley Arena when I was playing with Alice Cooper not too long after that. And it was just, you know, listen, as long as everybody in the community is doing well, everybody lands where they're supposed to land. If I would have played with Ozzy back then, maybe you and I wouldn't be having this conversation about TSO. Who knows?
That is,
you know,
fair.
I'm pretty happy with how Zach did for himself. I'm very proud of him. And I'm pretty grateful for, you know, where I ended up. So everything worked out how it's exactly supposed to in life.
I imagine they heard like one of his pinch harmonics and they just went, yes, that's the guy right there. Because I feel like that's what Zach is just kind of known for nowadays, is like he'll have like these incredible riffs while also adding in pinch harmonics, which I can never do for some reason. And no matter how hard I try, and it's just like, nope, it just sounds like a dead note every time.
Well, if ever we get the chance to sit down together, I'll show you how I approach doing it. Maybe it'll help out a little bit.
Hopefully we'll do that, you know, not in a year's time. Hopefully we'll do it much sooner than that. You can see him at ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena on December 11th for Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Tickets on sale now. Al Petrelli, thanks a lot for coming on.
Always, my brother. I'll see you soon, and all my best to your family.
Likewise.